Then it's got to go by plane, mostly private, some commercial. It's a mixture. And then a lot of these are going to war-torn areas. So that's why they're very particular that a squirt gun that looks like a squirt gun is okay, but any kind of thing that looks like a weapon is not. That's why they can't go with army camouflage that of the brown and green variety. They've got a lot of reasons behind this. They've been doing it for years. And it streamlines the sorters down in North Carolina if you do it right the first time, because they've got to check every box. If they're good, they can go at a pretty good clip. If they're bad, that slows everything down. So I've been doing a series in the Gospel of Mark. I'm changing up a little bit today. We'll come back to it again, pardon me. But I'm going to talk some about life. I think in church we should talk a little bit about life. And I hope with God's grace I can connect to that to the theme of worship. So I've got a question. Is life a bad joke? Sometimes it feels like a bad joke, doesn't it? A pun, a play on words, and a limerick walk into a bar. No joke. You got to work on this one. I know you do. This is a brain teaser. You get it? You can ask me after church. But anyway, let's see if this one's as bad. It's hard to enjoy practical jokes when what? Your whole life feels like one. My life does not feel like a practical joke. I've always thought that was an actual terrible term for mean pranks. Isn't a practical joke technically a mean prank? No? Some of you in this room, I know, are very skilled at practical jokes. I know this. Very skilled. Yeah, I don't know if you'd put that in your work resume if you were to change jobs. Skilled at practical jokes. I don't know how that would help, but if I open it up for stories of past practical jokes, we could be here a long time, and I don't think it'd be edifying except for the one who pulled it off. It's very gratifying to them. I'm not sure it's edifying, certainly to the person that gets the practical joke put on it. And I lived in a dorm when I was at Pharaoh Bible Institute, and when you live in a dorm, it seems to me that that is just an atmosphere that generates. It generates so-called practical jokes, but they're not very practical, and neither are they, and they're not funny to the victim. So what do we do when life feels like a practical joke, when things just aren't going right? Well, when things are going pretty well, most of us are like little kids. If everything's going my way, I'm a pretty happy camper. And if everything's not going my way, then things start to change, right? Those of us that have raised kids or around kids or grandkids or what have you, they don't, there's no hiding how they feel. They're feeling, whatever they're feeling is out in the open, and everybody in the room or the county knows it, depending on their attitude. When things are not going as well, things are not going so well, we have different mechanisms as adults how we deal with that. Sometimes we do act like the little kid, where things aren't going well. Everybody in the next county does know about it. But most of the time, if you're at work or here, you pretty well can mask it to some extent. I don't think we mask it as well in the home. It depends what your home is like. But if things aren't going well, most of our family, whoever lives with you, is pretty well aware of that. And so we have two options. What's the first option? Complain, right? Complaining, they used to say music is the universal language. I think complaining is the universal language now. Everybody understands it. I think music's better as the universal language. Here's another option. Worship. And I think for either if they're going well or not well, worship is the Christian's primary, not only option, but primary purpose. Primary purpose. Years ago, after the Reformation, church leaders were wrestling with the question, what is man's purpose? Chief end of man they came up with is to glorify God, and that's on all we do. That's what we were created to do, and I agree with those men that wrestled through with what's all this about. So I'm going to talk a little bit about worship, and then we're going to sing some more, because singing is part of worship, but it isn't all of worship. It's a part of worship. When life is good, it's easy to thank and praise God. When life's hard, it's not so easy. And the Bible, from beginning to end, talks about people who faced obstacles and worshiped. They worship Jesus. Let me give you a definition, and I go to biblical definitions. It's not just Wikipedia. There's a lot of other good websites. The meaning of the New Testament Greek word, most often translated as worship, proskueno, is to fall down before or bow down before. Worship is a state, an attitude of what? Inside. The outside action may reflect what's going on in the inside. And I think the challenge for us, especially in church, in corporate worship, is sometimes we are wondering what's going on the outside. Do I raise my hands, not raise my hands? Do I move to the music or not? And we get all judgmental on external. But God, right from the get-go, is concerned about the heart. He makes that very clear. The most important thing is that we worship God. And the writer of this is a good website, by the way, gotquestions.org, because they go to Jesus' definition of worship. And what does Jesus say? We are to worship how? In spirit and in truth, in our hearts and in our minds. And I like the way they broke that down. This is what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And the woman said, well, I know that Messiah, same, Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus gives her this powerful answer. I, the one speaking to you, I am he. In fact, his last three words, I am he, he's reflecting back on how Yahweh presented himself to Moses at the burning bush. And she probably caught that connection between the vocabulary there. So we are to worship in spirit and in truth. I think the Psalms are one of the best resources in Scripture to learn about the connection between human experience, good and bad, and how I worship God. And I believe that's why it is central, literally, in Scripture. It's the middle of the book. And there's such a range in the Psalms, right? There's a great range. There's what they call imprecatory psalms. They're anger psalms. God, why are you letting the evil happen in this world? And the writer's ticked off, and he writes that out. And most of these, we believe, were set to music. Now this one, Psalm 13, when it says, for the director of music, a psalm of David, that's not an editorial note put in the Bible. That's part of the original psalm. And it tells us that, one, it's a song, and two, who wrote it? David. And it's not a long psalm, but I think if I could pick maybe just one psalm, because David's a pretty interesting character if we did a study on him. But David would write, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? By the way, there's five questions just in those opening verses. Then he says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. And then this is the ending of this little simple psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Six verses. There's just six little verses there. And David has wrestled with this scope. That's the beauty of well-written poetry, by the way. It's compact. It takes thoughts and it distills them, and so it's the thoughts are succinct. They're self-containing. He has the five questions. If it doesn't go well, just my enemies are going to look at it. But here's my response to it. Verses 5 and 6. I have a response. I choose this response. This is from a new book. I will tell you the title in a minute when I wake up my device. I don't think any pastor should have an electronic device with him. They're nasty things. But I don't have the book in paper, so I have to use this one. The title of this book is Finding God in Hard Times by Matt and Beth Redman. We just sang, I think, two or three of the songs that we just sang were co-written by Matt Redman. He's a prolific Christian writer and great British accent because he's British. But the book talks about his and his wife's experiences before they came together and how God walked them through it. And then the book also contains a lot of other testimonies of people that have gone through a number of hard things. And he kind of pulled it together because it centers around a song, Blessed Be Your Name, which we're going to sing in just a few minutes. And when they wrote that song, they got such a tremendous response of people that were going through hard things saying, thank you for the song. This is what my heart needed in the middle of it. And they would put this down. In that psalm, David, to come to the conclusion he did, remembered something. And in his remembering that God is with him and that God has helped him in the past, it brought him to a place of worship. He stopped, he thought, and he came to that. I think it's the same for me and you. I know it's the same for me, but we have to work at it sometimes. We have to stop to remember a time when God answered your prayer or when he was close or you sensed his presence. And it sometimes it's not when you're looking for it. He shows up when you're not looking for him. I think C.S. Lewis had a really neat understanding of that. When you read the Narnia books, I think many of you have read the Narnia series. If not, if you're a Christian, you need to read through the Narnia books. Great discussion group thing if we read through Narnia and talked about it. But Aslan shows up when he wants to. And the kids are often surprised when he's not there, and they're surprised when he is there. And I think C.S. Lewis is onto something there. Scripture shows that. God shows up. I'm not saying we shouldn't seek him, and he does show up as a result of our seeking him. But sometimes you got to just stop and look. Stop, and then stop and remember. I think it's good if we sometimes just step outside for a moment and look up. Step outside and look up. I was out real early this morning. We're house-sitting Jeff and Teresa's little dog, Bruce. And when you house-sit someone else's dog, it's different. Anyway, so early this morning, Bruce needed to go out. So I went out with Bruce, and the stars were absolutely spectacular. It was a clear, cold morning, and I, right out my front door here, I went, oh, good morning, Orion. He's just, the constellation Orion is right in front of my house. And I thought, I haven't looked at the stars for a while because Orion hasn't been there all the time. When does Orion show up? In the fall. We've gone past the autumn equinox, and then he starts coming around. So astronomy is a different class. But we look up, and I look up at the vastness of the sky, and I realize I know who created all this, and he can handle anything that comes into yours or my life. Read a psalm or two, not too many, and think. I believe Christians should be good thinkers. We need to stop and think through things by Scripture, not just random thoughts, but we look at Scripture and think it through, understand Scripture. Maybe you'll be reading something and it doesn't make sense. Then I think it's good to sit down with a Christian friend and talk things through. You may not come up with revolutionary answers, but you can, I find, a peace in sharing things with Christian brothers and sisters that helps me on my journey. And then the last one I had on this list was to write out a praise. I don't like writing. I've never liked writing. So it's a real exercise for me to sit down. And I do a lot of writing for ministry because I have to do that. But that's not, some people like to just sit down and write. And I think they're all on Facebook. But anyway, I that's not my thing. But for other people, that's their outlet. That's how they do it. But if you're like me and that's not your first thing, that's probably a great discipline to try do. I found this. This was in Matt Redman's book, but I've seen it before. And this is a real thinker. It makes me think. Someone wrote this. We don't know who wrote it, but we do know where it was found. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Quite a thing to think about. But it's the where and the when that it was written. Written by an unknown prisoner on the wall of a Nazi concentration camp. You think of all the dark, horrible places on Earth that had to be, from my limited reading and movies, one of the worst. And I've read some about those GIs who unknowingly, as they're pushing the Germans back and crossing Europe, they come up on these camps. And I've gone to quite a few trainings now on PTSD, and I cannot imagine what those guys went home with after coming up to those camps, not to mention the survivors that were in the camps. But I look at those three couplets there. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. I believe in God, even when he is silent. I think that's a very powerful testimony of what it means to keep worshiping, even when you feel like there's no reason to it. This is a quote from Matt and Beth Redman. Every act of worship is a what? A choice. It's more than a feeling. Sometimes we think, well, I have to be caught up emotionally in it. And our emotions are okay. God gave us emotions. That's not a problem. But just think about this. Every act of worship is a choice, a decision to believe and respond to God for who he says he is, no matter how pressing our circumstances. Sometimes we will walk blindly, unable to understand why we are going through a certain situation. But we don't do it alone. Our only comfort being the knowledge that God himself is not walking blindly, but instead is wisely, kindly, and firmly in control. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve, or you can serve if you don't know him. Our God is a huge God, is he not? Francis Chan, he's a contemporary Christian writer and pastor. I love this quote from him. Isn't it a comfort to worship a God we cannot exaggerate? We cannot exaggerate. So we're going to sing a couple more songs. And again, my heart is that whatever you're dealing with, God is here for you. He is here with you. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, he is here in us. Amen? So one of these is newer. This one is newer. But it's a great worship piece. And it's kind of the whole story of God at work in us. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Amen. We all up? Nope, that's not right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Out and we get home or lunch or tomorrow when the alarm goes off at X hour of the morning, you live reigning in power. We do worship you, but through those ups and downs, may we sense how close you are, how real you are, how deeply you love us and know us, and you're taking us through. Paul would write those words, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. That's who you are. You finish what you've started in each one of our lives. Amen? We go in your grace. We go in your peace. And then, Lord, help us to pass on that peace and grace. People are lost not knowing you. May we reflect your light and love and then have gracious words that bring them right to your cross too. Amen? We are dismissed. We'll have prayer and praise and set to schools. That's a high key, but we can do it. You can sing it off to the Lord.